Simar.
Very confusing. Very confusing. Okay, so let's take a look at, let's just go over for a second what we saw on Sunday. So what do we see, Jeremy? What do we see in the Gemara? Beginning of the Gemara. The Gemara said, we had a kasha to Rebbe. Akiras kufok, akiras chayfetz, nam yirlos. The Gemara said, akiras chayfetz is kakiras. Akiras kufos, kakiras chayfetz, nam gomo. Ve'ino domo liyado. Right? Mm-hmm. So what's that issue with Ve'ino domo liyado? Let's start with the girsos. So what are the girsos in the Gemara?
So either kufonaya, shadow onaya, or yada vasar kufoker.
Okay. Or?
Or nachagali karta.
Well, I guess so, but wouldn't you have three different possibilities of girsos?
Or both.
Or both, right. Bashi seems to have which girsos, though?
I mean, he throws out, he suggests both girsos and he rejects the second.
Right, so he just has yada lonayich kufonayich.
Right.
What about Tosos?
He just has yada vasar gufoker.
Yeah. Right. It sounds like he just has yada basar gufogar, because it says, Nira lari kalashan acher degaras yada de basar gufogreira. And then he says, and even if my degaras nami yada lo naich, so he has an explanation. Right? So it seems that Tosos fundamentally at least holds that it's really yada basar gufogar. Who clearly has both girsos in our.
The Rach
has yada lo naich and yada basar gufogar. So those three girsos seem to correspond to three different perushim in the Shach V'Kari of the Gemara. Three different explanations as to why Yad is different from Guf. So what's Rashi Shita? Rachel, what's Rashi Shita?
We don't care about that, so Yad don't fight. Well, at least according to Tosfot, Rashi Shita is that we don't care about the relationship between your Yad and your Guf at all, just that your Yad isn't. Your yad in relation to the karka is not nach at all.
Okay, so yad is not nach agave karka. Okay, what's the case that Rashi is discussing? That's certainly his shita. What's his case?
The case of the Mishnah where
Is he discussing a case of pater or chiyuv in the Mishnah?
Pater. Saying lo dam, like the Gemara says lo dam.
Right, but which tour case specifically is Rashi discussing?
I guess the case of whatever of natan lo by tokei deshalani don't see.
Excellent. Right. Not that the ani is posha yad lifnim. Balabai has put something into the hand of the ani, so the ani now pulls his hand with the chayfetz in it back into the rishus harabim. So you see that what akiras yad is lav shmei akira. Because the chayfetz was in the hand of the ani inside the rishus hayachid, the ani pulled his hand into the rishus harabim, and yet the ani is pater. So you see, akiras yad is lav shmei akira. Right, that's how Rashi. So why is akiras yad lav shmei akira? Because the yad itself was not nach in the rishus hayachid. That's Rashi's explanation. Tosos shita is Chana. What's Tosos shita?
Tosos shita is that. You asked me the same question last time. This is really embarrassing. But it's about the Yad and the Guf being two separate rishiyos.
Okay, so when the Yad and the Guf are in two separate rishiyos, therefore what?
Then it actually is chutzah, because you'd be chayav. Well,
let's take our case. So this is explaining the case of Ptur in the Mishnah. The yad is in a separate rishos. You pull it back, you're pater. That's the case of the Mishnah. So according to Rashi, you're pater, because the yad was not nach in the rishos hayachid. According to Tosos, why you pater?
Because you didn't do the nacha actually on the ground.
That seems to be Rashi's position.
Okay.
How are you guys going to stay awake in such comfortable chairs?
Yeah.
What's Tosos' rationale of Yada Basar Gufo Garir? What's he trying to explain?
Isn't he saying that Rashi thing only if it's below?
Okay, so we'll forget about what Tosos holds in Rashi. What does Tosos hold for explaining that the Gemara? And what does Yada Basar Gufo Garir mean? Why is that a reason to pater? Yeah, Ari.
Actually,
you can't volunteer in that.
Okay. It's never changing a reshoot. Like the yad, if the yad follows the goose, then you never had to change a reshoot there.
So yeah, that's one way of formulating Tosos very nicely. that Yada Basa Gufo Gar means that even when the Yad is in the Rishus HaYachin, so it's only ostensibly in the Rishus HaYachin. But halachically, since the Yad is attached to the Guf and the Guf is in Rishus HaRabim, so Le'inyan certain halachos, we're going to say that the Yad is really still in the Rishus HaRabim. So it seems that according to Tosos, if you take Aryeh's interpretation of Tosos, which is a very nice interpretation, the problem of Yada Basa Gufo Gar is not a chisaron in Hanacha. It's a chisaron in the Chila for Shuyos. It's a chisaron in viewing the chepetz as having moved by you from Rosh Hashanah Yachid into Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. That's a very nice interpretation of Tosos. One could have interpreted Tosos differently, and we'll see this in a second. How could you have interpreted Tosos?
That the we're looking at the case where the Ani is the one who brings his hand into the Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and we don't look at the Ani as a true Hanacha because his hand is still considered as part of
Right. One might have said that what Tosos really means is that Yad Basa Gufo Garyer is a chisaron in the Hanacha. So the Yad, Rashi said the Yad was not Nach in the Rosh Hashanah Yachid precisely because the Yad is in the airspace. It's not actually Agave Karka. Tosos would say that the reason why the Yad is not Nach is because the Yad is attached to the Guf. Okay, so Jeremy's saying, at least, that it's a chisaron in Hanacha. Aryeh is suggesting it's not a chisaron in Hanacha, it's a chisaron in the Chila for Shuyos.
You're going to just have Hanacha at some point. Like, Hanacha could happen. It's not going to need to happen right away.
No, so we'll get to that when the Hanacha
is
happening.
That's why he says you have to stop.
Okay, we'll get to that in a second. So those are two extreme ways. Let's say Rashi's position and Tosos' position. What are the nafkamina between Rashi and Tosos? And who suggests the nafkamina? So before you get to Tosos' nafkamina, Tosos' nafkamina is a little trickier. Who suggests the nafkamina? So the Ritva suggests a nafkamina. What's a nafkamina?
If it's below
Gimel in another Rishos. Below Gimel in another Rishos, according to Rashi, will be a Hanacha, because in this case, it's Munach Agavi Karka. According to Tosos, it would not be a Hanacha, because still Yad Basar Gufo Garir. So even though it's Munach Agavi Karka, nonetheless, it's still attached to the other Rishos. That's one nafkamina. That's where we left off last week. What's the other nafkamina?
Gufo and Yadar together.
So in Gufo and Yadar are together in. What do you mean?
I mean, like, if the Ani if the Ani stepped into the Balabai's house, and then the Balabai put him in the hand of the Ani. So Rashi, according to what Tosfos understands, would still say you're Pater because it's the object in the Yad. Tosfos would say you're Chayav because Yadar Bater Gufo greater, but here your Guf is.
And Ani walks into the Rosh Hashanah.
He walks into Rosh Hashanah, the Balabai puts in his hand, he walks out with the object.
Okay.
So the way that Tosfos understands Rashi, he thinks that Rashi would say that you're still Pater in that case because we'd still say that it's still in your yad.
Okay, so let's hold off on that. That's a good nafkamina. That's a trickier nafkamina. We'll get to that in a second. Because Tosfos imputes that to Rashi, it's not clear Rashi holds in that case. So we'll get to that in a second. A more clear-cut nafkamina that's suggested by the Rashba, B'Shem, Muri, Harav. And the footnote Rashba is they think it's a Rabbeinu Yonah that we're missing. But you'll see the Rush also has it. So everyone turns to the Rush for a second, because probably most people have the Rush. This is a very important nafkamina, and you'll have tons of the nafkamina lemaisa that based off this Rush.
So,
who saw it? Yes, so you see the Rush? All right, you want to take crack at it then? There's just be Simon Bays in the Rush.
V'lo amar akiras hayad ka akiras chafetz dami. My taima, yado lo naicha agave karka, hilkach lo chashiv akiraso ka akiras chafetz.
So does the Rush hold like Rashi or like Tosfos?
Rashi.
Excellent. The Rush clearly holding like Rashi, because you don't have akiras, you don't have anachas yado agave karka. And what does he go on to say? Below dami.
Below dami latino chavera aktefo o al yado ve'akar raglo ve'yatsa dechayev. There has some gufo niyeh agabi karka ve'chashiv akiras gufo ka'akiras chafetz. Af ha'chafetz she natun bi'yado. Is that the right line? She natun bi'yado. Kevan she akar gufo.
Okay, to stop for a second. So the Rosh said something very interesting, and this touches on Rachel's point. The Rosh, we just saw Paskins like Rashi, but what is the Rosh Paskin on the case that Tosfos imputes to Rashi? What did Tosfos say Rashi would hold in Rachel's case?
Pater.
What's that case? A case where somebody put something into my hand in Rosh Hashayachid, I walk out into Rosh Hasharabim. So according to Rashi, Yado Lo Nach, so the object being in my hand should not have a Shem Hanacha. So when I walk out with the object into another Rishus, I should be Pater. Right? That's Tosfos' question on Rashi Rachel, correct?
Yeah.
So you see the Rosh here actually paskind. The lo dami lehetino chavero al ksefo o al yado. So the Rosh paskins, even though he's holding like Rashi, that if somebody puts something into your hand and you walk into another Rishus, you're still going to be chayiv. Because that has a din of akiras gufo, not a din of akiras yado. Okay? So that already just shows you that you have to be careful with Tosfos' accusation of Rashi. Because Tosfos thought that Rashi would have to hold that that's Pater, and yet the Rosh holds that Tzchai. We'll come back to this case in a second. Go on. Aval.
Aval im lo akar gufo v'aman bimkomom roshi yado lachutz Pater. Do chashiv akiras hayad kakiras Pater.
Excellent. That's the line I want. What's the Rosh thing in this last line?
That, I mean, the case in the Mishnah where you're Pater, there's a... I mean, he's differentiating between akiras hayad and akiras gufo. If you... Like, there's... I think... because Akiras Hayad is not considered Akiras Chafetz, unlike Guf, where it would be, I think.
What's the case? What's the case he's discussing?
It's just a standard case from the Mishnah where Patr, where I stick my hand into Rosh Hashayach and you place the object in my hand and then I take it out, I think. I don't know. The Patr case is in the Mishnah.
It's just regular. Imlo Akar Gufo, Amad Bim Kama, Hoshe Yad Lechutz, Patr. Delo Chashav Akiras Hayad Kakiras Chafetz.
No, he had the object in his hand and then he just took it out. Yeah.
Right, so he says you're Pater.
He's Pater.
So why are you Pater?
Because Akira's Hayat is not Akira's Hayat.
Now, presumably, this would hold true even if you stuck your hand outside, you stuck your hand out the window, and you threw the Chefetz out. Right? Because Akira's Hayat is Lav Shmei Akira.
Those are the classic case of Chayav in the first Mishnah.
That seems to be a classic case of Chayav in the first Mishnah.
But here, I don't think you're giving it to everyone. Anyway, you're just sticking your hand in.
Right. So, but you're doing a hanacha inside of Rosh Hasharabim.
Why are you doing hanacha?
Take the Rashba's case, for example. It's a little clearer.
You want to say, you're trying to say this is a case of not giving it to Tosfos and Rashi, because Tosfos is
Yeah. Look at the Rashba. Does anybody have a Chishei Rashba on them? The Rashba is a little clearer. In the second Dibra Maschil, so the Rashba says, he quotes Rashi, he quotes the two different Lashonos of the Gemara, and he says, V'ika b'nayu. Okay. M'div Rabbeinu HaTopali tos near d'shnei, nebchein pirish Rabbeinu HaRavzal, V'ika b'nayu. The difference between the two Lashonos of the Gemara of Yadol Onach or Yadol Basar Gufo Gavir, kegon she'etino chaveru b'yado, v'hutzi yado l'chutz v'zarak. Somebody puts something into your hand, you stick your hand outside, and you throw it out the window. If you hold that it's a chisaron in yado lo nach, so then if you put your hand out the window and you throw the chefetz, you're totally pater, because there's no akiras achefetz. Because akiras yad is lav shmei akira. If you hold that it's yado bazar gufo garir, then of course you had an akira. Does everybody understand that nafkamina? So why is this not the case of the Mishnah? For a very simple reason. Why is it not the case of the Mishnah? Because the case of hit'ino chavero, somebody else put the chefetz into your hand, you're standing in the Rosh Hashayachid, and then you put your hand outside into Rosh Hasharabim, akira siyad lav shmei akira, and then you do a hanacha in Rosh Hasharabim. So you have a hanacha without an akira. If you picked it up inside the Rosh Hashayachid and put your hand out the window, then you'd be chayiv because you had an akira as well. But the point is, the simple motion of taking something that's already in your hands and putting your hand out into another rishus, that's lav shmei akira. According to Rashi. Because yado is lo nach.
Why according to Tosas would it be eats, even though, because your goof is resting, even though it's in another rishus, it's still, like, I don't understand why. Why would, if you say yado?
Which rishus does the akira happen in?
Oh, it happens in the original rishus, yeah.
Right, so I'm inside rishus harabim right now. The chivish is in my hand. So according to Tosos, the state of the object being in my hand, when I lift my hand right now, that's an akira. Because yado is basar gufo garir. Right? So my hand is in the same rishus. What?
But I thought we were just standing in place. Right.
Okay, but the point is akira's yad is shmei akira.
Oh, according to Tosos.
According to Tosos, akira's yad is shmei akira. It's only a technical issue that when your hand and guf are in two separate rishios, then you have to view yado basar gufo garir. There's no chila for rishios. Right? But inside one rishus, the yad follows the guf. So I pick up my hand with the chafetz already in it, akiras yad. I put my hand out the window, chila for shuyos. I let go of it, hanacha. According to Rashi, the yad, even when it's inside the same rishus as the guf, is not munach. So there's no akira. I do a chila for shuyos and a hanacha. That's not enough to machayim because there's no akira. Okay. So you have two nafkamina between Rashi and Tosos. The first nafkamina is that suggested by the Ritva. If you put your hand lamata mi gimel in the other rishus, according to Rashi, yado is munach agavi karka. According to Tosos, you still have yada basa gufa garir. Then you have another nafkamina. What happens when you already have something in your hand in a rishus ayachid, and then you stick your hand outside? According to Rashi, that's pater, because akira siyad is loshmi akira. According to Tosos, that's chayiv, because when the yad and the guf are in the same rishus, akira siyad ishmi akira. Is that clear?
So
you said the rush who holds like Rashi would say in that second case that you would be
pater.
Like the same way Rashi would say?
Correct. Which is what he holds. Aval im lo akar gufo. This is a case, remember, he's following his case where he said, Hitino chaveir al ksefo, o al yado, va akar ragl v'yatza chayiv. So somebody put something in your hand. So if you walk outside, you're chayiv. But aval im lo akar gufo, va amma bimkom v'hoshet yado l'chutz, then you're pater. De lo chashev akiras tayad kakiras chayfetz.
But he doesn't, he should have said, if you want to say that he's doing what the Rosh was saying, he should have said the extreme. And he also
you let
does,
go of your hand.
Yeah, because he also recognized that there is something that makes us say that you're chayiv.
But you can't say, according to Tosos, you're chayiv just for sticking your hand outside with the chayfas inside it.
You're chayiv for, no.
Yeah. Right.
No, exactly, you're chayiv because we see there's an akira and nacha there. Rosh is saying that, I don't know if the Rosh himself is as extreme as Tosos thinks Rosh is. I mean, because he does recognize that there is legitimacy to the gufo nayach to the extent that we do take into account your goof to some extent because he does say that you'd be chayav in a case of when you're in run or shoot with your goof and you walk out with the
right.
object in your
right,
hand,
right?
So
clearly I'm saying the rush is not as extreme as Tosos accuses Rashi of being.
So I don't know. So I also don't think that it's clear that he would agree that that in the case of Hotziyad del Vizarak, that he'd say that you're putter.
You don't think it's clear that Rashi would agree?
No, Rashi would probably agree, at least with Tosfot understands. I just don't know if the Rush would agree.
To which case?
The case of Hotziyad del Achutz.
The Rush gives you that case.
No, he doesn't, but he doesn't say Vizarak. Hotziyad del Achutz, that's it.
But everyone thinks Hotziyad del Achutz is putter, because no hanacha.
No,
I just take an object and I put my hand out the window, and I hold my hand there. There's no hanacha, how could I be chayiv? Remember, Tosos on Sadi Beis had a question, if you hold Kluta Kamisha Huncha Damya, then maybe you should say that just putting the object out the window in your hand is considered a hanacha.
Exactly.
I don't think you can impose. But there's still no hanacha in the other rishus. I mean, it's clear from the Mishnah, for example,
right,
that if you put your hand outside and that guy takes it from you, you're putter.
So you're reading this as Vahoshi Yado is.
And then you let go of it. Yeah. Like the Rashba quotes Mori Harab.
Uh-huh.
I think that's the only way to read it. Otherwise, it's triviality.
Right.
That's what I think.
There's no that you can be chayav just by meaning that your hand.
Just by Tosos says, if you hold kluta kamisha huncha damya, then maybe you could hold just by putting your hand out the window. There's a hanacha, but without kluta, it's hard to substantiate that.
And yadu shal no chashivah only works when you actually, when you're doing a kira from a hand.
We'll see. Yeah, yadu shal no chashivah kedal would assume. I think would only make sense if it's actually munach. In the rishus.
It is munach. I mean, it's in my hand right now. It's just that I didn't.
Yeah, Rashi's whole point. Remember, he's adopting Rashi's shita, and Rashi's whole principle is that yado is lo nach in the other rishus.
Right. Yeah. Fine.
Okay. Good. Okay. I know it's a very complicated so yeah. So that's very important. So those are two nafgaminas. One when they're both in the same rishus, and one is when you have lamata migim on the other rishus. The Ritva and the Meiri both maintain that you need both girsos in the Gemara, Yada lo nayich and Yada basar gufo garir, in order to overcome both of these issues. Right, so you need, let's say, Rashi's Yada lo nayich to say that. Sorry, you need Yada basar gufo garir to hold by your potter even when your yad is lamata mi gimel in another rishus, when you have an artificial hanacha. And presumably, you would need Rashi's Yada lo nayich, let's say, for the Rashi's situation of Pasha Yada lechutz vizarak. Okay, like we just saw in the Rosh and the Rashba. Okay, so they would hold there are two dinim in Yad. One's a chisaron in Hanacha, one's a chisaron in Yad Abbasar Gufagar. Good? Okay. So I want to dig a little deeper into Shitas Rashi. If you take Rashi to an extreme, then what would that mean? Let's go back to our case in the Mishnah. I take something, I'm the Ani, and I take a chefetz from the other, the Baal HaBayis. So I take from his hand, I pull my hand back into the Rishus HaYachid. Okay? So if you take the extreme read of Rashi, so the Yad is not Nach, even in the Rishus HaRabim, even back in the Rishus where the Ani is standing. So at what point do you become Chayiv in the case of the Mishnah?
Maybe you have to actually put your hand on the ground.
If you take that strong reading of Rashi, that even according to Tosfos, once the Yad and the Guf are in the same Rishus, the Yad is considered Munach. Right? It's only a problem when there is a discrepancy. So according to Tosfos, your Chayiv, the Ani is Chayiv the moment he takes the Chayfetz back into the Rishus HaRabim. According to Rashi, you would say, Yado's low Nach even when it's in the same Rishus as the Guf. And therefore, you might have to put it on the ground. So look in the Mishnah on Rashi, Dibur HaMaskel, Osha Nach on the Socha. Rashi on the Mishnah. Osha Nasa on the Socha. So you just see the way Rashi describes the case, or Pashad Ani Es Yado, I guess you could look at that one. The first wide line in Rashi. The Avid Le Akira Vinata Abal Abayis Misocha Veheniach Bifnim. The Avid Le Abal Abayis Hanacha. Osha Nasa on the Socha. The Avid Le Abal Abayis Akira Vehotzi Ha'ani Veheniach. So it's very interesting that Rashi, when he describes the cases in the Mishnah, Rashi seems to explain that you actually need the Ani or the Baal HaBayis to put it down on the ground. But calls to mind that the Chefes is just remains biyado, that may not be sufficient to mechayiv him for a hanacha, because yado lo nayich. Okay, so that's an important nafkamina for Hilchos Shabbos, if you take that understanding of Rashi. So let's come back to Rachel's point. In Tosos here. Let's read Tosos quickly. Tosos di Ramaskal Akiras my time yad lo naif. Okay, so let's just skip to the Rashi Piresh, third to last line in Rashi. Q, you want to read it?
Sure. Rashi Piresh yadov anayach agave karka mashma afilu hu viyadov bimkom echad venatan lo chavero letoch yadov yotzi patur.
Okay, so which case is that?
It's
Nasan Chaver Lesoch Yado Vahotzi. No. It's a case I put something into your hand and then you walk outside.
Right.
Okay? So what does Tosas think the case that according to Rashi, what should the din be? Potter.
Right.
Why? Because anything that's in your hand is not enough. Okay? Ve'in Nira, and Tosas doesn't like it. So the first question is, do you think Rashi has to buy this interpretation of... Do you think Rashi holds like Tosfos? So we already pointed out, you don't have to say he does. Rashi could hold, like we just saw in the Rush, that the Rush is perfectly fine saying, even though I paskin that Yado's lo naich, nonetheless, if something's in my hand and I walk outside, I'll acknowledge that that's pater. Right, so Rashi just may say, Chayiv, I don't actually hold Potter. Okay, how could that be? If Rashi really, meaning, the Rosh clearly holds that way, but if Rashi does hold Yad Elonayich, how could Rashi acknowledge that if you put something in my hand and I walk out with it outside, then now I'm Chayiv? Ah, yad lo naich. Acha.
We're talking about meaning of, like, two, like, abstract ways to understand yado, meaning yado mater gufo. Either that you think that just, like, they're inseparable, your yad is a part of your hand, in which case, Tosfos' understanding of Rashi is correct, right? Meaning that even if, sorry, right?
Rashi's yad lo naich, so sorry, the hand sorry. Is attached, it's just not,
right. No hanacha. So you're asking, sorry, you're asking how could Rashi hold his position of that yad lo naich agave karka would still hold, right? Oh, fine, so this is what we're saying, yeah. So that's one understanding of Yadav Bakar Gufo. Another understanding, which what Rashi might not say, but he might actually hold, is that he doesn't hold of Yadav Bakar Gufo in the sense that they're totally, meaning we see them as totally one, and therefore, you know, your hand can't do anything, but he might hold of the fact that, like, okay, we recognize that your Yad, meaning he thinks that your Yad is lo nachalek gavai karka, and by extension has the ability to theoretically be nachal gavai karka, meaning it's not nachal gavai karka, but it has the ability to
be. Well, we know that, say,
it's not part of her
use. Like the ritual will say, according to Rashi, theoretically, there are cases where it could be nachal gavai karka.
Right, so that's a meaning.
But here we're lamala migimel. Right, it's one thing for Rashi to say, here your hand's not nach, lamata migimel it is nach. Here Rashi's saying, even lamala migimel, you just walk from inside to outside. You're carrying your car keys on Shabbos.
Oh, how can we say that you're putter in that case?
How could Rashi hold that you're chayiv?
Even though he holds
yad lo naich.
Right, so he could just acknowledge the fact that in the end of the day, meaning we don't say yad lo matar gufo l'chol inyan to say that whatever, but in the end of the day, if you're moving, right, the question that Tosfos brings on him about mali hatino chaviro mali hatino, or that Tosfos or from us mali hatino chaviro al agave ktefo mali hatino chaviro agave yado. In the end of the day, when we're not going to ignore reality and the fact that you're
why is that ignoring reality though?
Because you're walking from one reshut to another reshut with your goof from
but your hand is not.
Okay, so that's what I was trying to say, that even if he doesn't like take yado bat or goofo to its extreme, at the end of the day he recognizes that there is an attachment of your yad to your goof to the extent that when they're in the same reshut, we'll consider them as one entity. Yes, when they're in separate reshut, Rashi's going to say then we recognize that they're separate entities. But if they're in the same reshut, then we're not gonna ignore the fact that your yad is connected to your yad is connected to your goof.
Okay, that's one possible solution. What are you gonna say?
I would just say once there's akiras gufo, that overrides everything else. So even though it's in your hand right now, the fact that it's your hand's attached to your body, you're moving with your body and the chayfets to the other reshus. You've done akiras gufo, and that's enough.
So those are not so different from each other, but they are importantly different. Meaning, if even Rashi who holds Yad lo naich, Rashi will acknowledge that that's a din in Yad. The hand is not nach. But Rashi may acknowledge that there are certain activities that you do that involve the Yad, which al pi halacha are defined as a mice of the entire guf. Right? Meaning, sometimes you'll view the Yad as just being a Yad, and the Yad qua Yad is not nach. But sometimes the Yad, the entire body is moving. Right? So there are times where the Yad will just function as an appendage of the guf.
Isn't that only in the case?
So Jeremy's saying, well, great. So now if somebody, when a person's stationary and he's just moving his hand, so then the shaila is about the status of the yad, and there we say yad lo nach. But if a person is moving, he's moving from one room to another to outside, so then the suffix not about the yad. The yad is just part of the guf, and it's akiras gufo. Right. So once you say it's already akiras gufo, then you'll say that gufo is nach. Okay. Now let me just. There's a bit of a difference. So where's the difference between Rachel, what Rachel's saying, and what Jeremy's saying? So I think Rachel is saying that the way we distinguish between Yad and Guf is based off Rishuyos. If your Yad is in a separate Rishus from the Guf, so then the Halacha asks about the Yad. When the Yad is in the same Rishus as the Guf, then the Halacha asks about the entire Guf. I would say that's incompatible with holding of the Rush, the second point of the Rush, and what the Rash was quoting from Rabbi Yonah. Because if you want to say every time the Yad and the Guf are in the same Rishus, then it's a Shaila on the Guf, right? So then lifting your hand up like this, L'chora, should be a Din of Akiras Gufo. Because your point is that the only time we view the Yad separately from the Guf is when the Yad is in a separate Rishus.
Yeah.
So that would mean in the Rush's case where you pick up an object, sorry, that would mean in the Rush's case where you have an object in your hand already, and you lift your hand, and then you put it outside, that really is a case of Akiras Yado. Sorry, that really is a case of Akiras Gufo.
Yeah. Why? Because at the end of the day, the point at the point where the akira is happening.
But the akira happens inside the Rosh Hashanah, not when you're moving Rosh Hashanah.
Why can't the akira happen?
That would be a chiddush if you want to. That would be like the Ravid, who holds that the akira could also be akira's Rosh Hashanah. But according to you, that every time the yad and the gufa are in the same Rosh Hashanah, which is not a problem. It's not a stira because Rashi never said that he holds like explicitly that he holds that bottom case of the Rosh. But according to you, that means that if you have something in your hand and you lift your hand up inside the Rosh Hashanah and you move it outside, that should not be a din of akiras. Yeah, that should be a din of akiras kuf. According to Jeremy, it's not a question of the yad and the Rosh Hashanah, the yad and the guf being in separate shios. It's a question about how this ma'isa was performed. So if a ma'isa is performed exclusively by the yad, as it is in this case, despite there being in the same Rosh Hashanah, so then it's a ma'isa yad, and akiras yad is lav shmei akira. If it's an akiras haguf that happens to just involve the yad, right? An akira of the entire guf, and you'll say it's akiras gufa, and akiras gufa have akira. Regardless of whether it's in one Rosh Hashanah or two Rosh Hashanah. Let me just give a great nafkamina. Did everybody see Rabbeinu Chananel? Super cryptic Rabbeinu Chananel on this sugya. Very unclear what he means. But either way, he's saying something very important. Sabra Rabbeinu Chananel, they put out the very nice editions. Vagshul put out on different mesechtas like Rabbeinu Chananel with footnotes and better yourselves. Sometimes it's hard when you want to get the right gears on a rishon, especially like Rabbeinu Chananel. So lots of times the printed girsa isn't the best one. For example, what's the big chiddush of the Tosafta Kipshuta?
It's a good girsa.
But where did he get the girsos from?
Manuscripts.
No, so the genius of the Tosafta Kipshuta is that... Yeah, but the genius is that the best girsa is not necessarily the oldest manuscript that you find. Mm-hmm. It's like looking through Rishonim to see how they quote the Tosefta, and then just reconstructing the Lashon of the Tosefta from how Rishonim quoted. Because the assumption is, even if you have a manuscript from, like, I don't know, 13th century, so if you have what Rishonim are quoting, then you could assume that they have better manuscripts than the ones you have. So here what they do is, lots of times, is that they'll just take when Rishonim quote Rabbeinu Chananel, and they'll, like, compare it against the published Rabbeinu Chananel on the side of the page. So it's a much better edition of Rabbeinu Chananel, if you're interested. So what do we have in Rabbeinu Chananel? Jeremy, you want to read? Did anybody see who started Rabbeinu Chananel?
Okay. Bari Minei Rav, Rav Yitino Chaver, Ochon Amash, Mishra Yachad, Lotiyo Lachut, Tzma Akira.
Oh, sorry. For people who don't have it, sometimes the Rabbeinu Chananel is published like a daft behind. It takes him some time to catch up. So he could be, I don't know, in your...
He's on Gimel.
He's on Gimel base, so...
Four lines up in the wider ones.
If you can't find, just listen very carefully to Jeremy.
Okay, Mao Akira, Skupo Kakira, Sleifet, Mim Komo Dami, Vachaya Bola. Amar le chayav veino domel yada demas nisan chandos in losocha moti yeshnei ampiturin. My time yada lo nicha basar gufa greira. Umakam she gufa omecham yado chashiva. Ki im yaatek haguf yado nimshachasima.
Okay, so we'll come back to this formulation. This is a very important formulation for yado basar gufa garir. Ki im yaatek haguf yado nimshachasima. That's just a very, we'll see the Meiria is a different formulation, but we'll discuss that in a second. Right now,
Kevan Shaguf Bachutz, Kemokan, Hayad Bachutz, Hashiva, Vine, Loakar, Mershud, Hayat.
Very important, but we'll get back to it.
Aval Ba'is Shaguf Bithnim, Gufo Naya, Ubari Akira.
Okay, so Ba'is Shaguf Bithnim, Rabbi Nachanan here is cryptic, but what does he mean? He means that the entire Guf with the Yad is Bithnim. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay.
Vim this Nad Nade, Ki Ilu Akar.
What's that last line saying? The imnis nadneid ki ilu akar vihotzi chayiv shenimtza kulo maisa biyado. Kulo or kalu? Hu akar mi bifnim. Hu hotzi v'hiniach. The kol shekein hu ma'asa kavein. What's he saying?
What's nisnanei?
Nisnanei literally means to shake or to move.
I have a guess, but I don't know. It's
it seems like there's some intentionality, like if you intentionally moved it or picked it up, especially if it was heavy, then that's actually an akira. But if you just are holding it, so it's like that's not.
So this, let's say this case is where it's already, right, something, you're holding something inside, let's say you're something in your hand inside a shtiachid. So what's happening?
So either it's part of, either it was just placed on your hand, in which case, like,
okay, something's placed in your hand, so fine.
Right, so then you didn't do an akira, but if you move your hand
as now.
Now, then it's like you are like reoccurring it every time.
So just by moving your hands, shouldn't that be a akiras yado lapshmi akira?
Well, you're not going to walk around with it.
What do you mean? In this nanade ki'ilu akar. What does he mean? It's hard. It's hard. Hard for Rachel to crack. That's why you need the footnotes over here. Yeah, Rachel.
I'm just guessing, but exactly.
And what's the kol shekein amasa kaved? Why does it matter how heavy the item you're carrying is?
You're putting like effort into actually making. You're like trying to do something that's actually significant, like doing it okay, like moving it, or if, especially if it's heavy, like you're not just. It's not. It's like active, not passive, or something.
But every case, I could have something, I could be waving this around, and Rashi would tell me that's Lapshmi Akira. Q, what do you think?
I don't know, it seems from like the letter, I don't know what Nanda means exactly.
It means to shake.
Right, but it seems, I mean, later on he says, you know, so it seems like you're just taking something from inside and putting it outside.
You just like, but you have something in your hand, you put it outside, you put it down?
That's what, I mean, Nanded doesn't seem to fit that, but...
But why, but it seems like this Nanded here is important, and why is Masa Kavit important?
It seems like they were saying, Gufo Batar Yadav Naich, like, meaning that, like, he says generally Yadav Batar Gufo Naich, but, like, if you do some type of action, right, that, like, whatever, I'll use, like, weird terms, that, like, trance, like, if you, like, let's say, do some type of, shaking, and then kol shekein as a davar kavi, where clearly you can't just hold it with your hand, but you're using your goof. So there we'll say that even though your goof isn't physically moving, it's as if your goof is physically moving, that and like that's what your hand is. Your hand's really representing your goof when it crosses.
Okay, to some extent, I'd say I would agree in part. I agree in part. Yossi, what do you think?
I'm not sure. It's too small for me to read.
Too small. You could borrow mine. Yeah, it's a little easier to read. Makes sense to Yossi. Yeah, Jeremy, what do you say? You don't know what he's saying. Mm-hmm. Give up. Okay, so I think Rabbi Nachman is saying is that in this nadnid, okay, so you're inside one rishus and you're like picking up a box, or you have a box in your hand, okay, but it's very heavy. So you move as if you're gonna move, right? You don't actually move any of your feet, but your body's like shaking because you're holding this thing, and then you're pasha yada lechutz. So even though your body never crossed the reshuyos, and it's only your yad, that's not considered akiras yad. That's considered akiras aguf. Why? Because it's so clear in this case that even though the yad is the one that's actually doing the chilaf reshuyos, since nisnaneid haguf, since the guf was involved in the ma'isa, so it's considered akiras gufo. The kol shekein emasa kaved, and kol shekein, if it's clear that this object can't just be lifted by your hands alone, but that in order to lift that object, your whole guf had to be involved. So I can't. I mean, there is an interesting question that technically every akiras yad to some extent involves a ma'isa of the guf. But what he's saying, and I think this falls very nicely in line with what Jeremy was suggesting, is that sometimes it's clear. Listen, there are some cases. Let's say in the case of the rush and the case that Tosos imputes to Rashi, is that if you walk from one rishus to another rishus and you happen to have an object in your hand, that's not ma'isa yad. That's ma'isa gufo. If you're in one rishus and you just stick your hand out, that's clearly ma'isa yad. But what about a case where your guf stays stationary, your guf is involved in the actual physical lifting of the object, but your yad is the chilaf reshuyos? So then Rabbi Yochanan is willing to say that's a case of not akiras yado, but that's a case of akiras gufo. Fascinating. So that guf is not actually doing any chilaf reshuyos, it's not breaking the boundary, it's the yad. But since the guf's involved, that's sufficient to say akiras gufo, not akiras yado. Everybody understand that? Yes, did you agree with that read of Rabbeinu Chanan? My pleasure. Yeah.
What about the hanacha in that case?
So the hanacha presumably is you're putting it down in the other rishos. presumably. The kol shekin hu ma'asa kafei, because then it's easier to say that it's if the entire goof was involved. Okay. Those are two very different ways of understanding. So those are two different ways of understanding the relationship between yad and goof, according to Rashi. According to both of those ways, you'll say that Rashi could still hold of that if you walk out with the chifetz in your hand, that that's considered akiras gufo, not akiras yado. Contrary to Tosfos' accusation. Tosfos' accusation of Rashi is that that should be considered akiras yado. Yeah.
Sorry, just when we say yado lo nia, that's talking about in the act of akira, not in the act of hanacha, right?
Right.
So like this, okay.
But presumably the same thing holds true for the act of hanacha.
But when would you ever have a hanacha that just doesn't end and you're just holding it in your yad?
Well, let's say you pick up something, you know, before Shabbos is over, and you're just holding. You have something in your hand for 2 hours, right? So if you wait till after Shabbos and you put it down, so then you're a potter. If you put it down on Shabbos, when did the Maisa Avera happen? Right. Okay. What about Tosis's question? Let me just make one other point. The Ramban had an interesting line, which also seemed to touch on this ambiguity. And I think the Ramban, actually, in defending Rashi, defended Rashi not like Jeremy, but like Rachel. That it has to do with whether, according to Rashi, when the Yad and the Guf are in the same Rishos, so then you'll view the Maisa as Maisa Gufo. When the Yad and the Guf are in two separate Rishos, then you'll distinguish. So he just says, he asked the question Tosfos asked in Rashi, which is, Ela shayni hasam dekivan de Gufo nayich, af yado muneches agav Gufo. Rashi never said it, but what the Ramban is explaining according to Rashi is that when the Yad and the Guf are in the same Rishos, then we'll say the Yad is Noch along with the Guf. It's only when the Yad is in a separate Rishos that you'll say that the Yad is not Noch, because you can't just say it's part of the Guf in that situation. Okay, so I think these two explanations of Rachel and Jeremy touch very nicely. They align with the different Shitas in the Rishonim here. What about Tosa's actual question on Rashi? Tosos asks from this case of Nasam Lesuch Yad Chavero, but Tosos also has a very specific question from the Mishnah. Right? How does Tosos prove that Rashi should have to hold that Nasan Chavero Lesuch Yado and then he walked to another Rishos that he should be Chayiv? What's Tosos' proof?
What was your question? When someone puts it in yours and then you leave Rishos for
five. Yeah, I put something in your hand at home, and then you keep the object in your hand. You walk into another Rishos.
Isn't that what we just said?
That's what we just discussed. Hand. We just discussed that.
No, I thought the Gemara says that, but it doesn't say hand.
Right. The Gemara says gufo. So Rashi could always say that's dafka gufo, not for yado. Or Rashi could say that my position of holding yado lo nach is not inconsistent with holding your case, because in that case it's really gufo that's doing the avoda. So what's Tosfos' kasha from the Mishnah? And how strong of a question do you think that is? Are you see Tosfos?
Which Tosfos is it?
Bottom Tosfos. Sorry. Yeah, bottom Tosfos.
We read it, right?
What?
Didn't we just read it here?
Yeah, we didn't read the question though. So who is reading? Q, you're reading Tosfos, right?
Yeah.
So read the question from the Mishnah.
Am I the guys?
Yeah. No. I'll read it. Okay. It's in the middle of the second to last line. How do I know that Rashi should have to hold chayiv? The hakatani osha natal misocha v'hotzi chayiv. Okay. The case, let's say, the Baal HaBayis is holding something in his hand inside the house. The ani puts his hand inside, takes something from the hand of the Baal HaBayis, does the akira, pulls it outside and puts it down. That's a hanacha. Okay. That's the case. That's the ani's chayiv, because the ani does the akira mi yado shel Baal HaBayis and puts it down. Alma, so what do you see from that case? Hanachas chifetz biyad Baal HaBayis shehu v'yado b'rishus achas hava hanacha midechayiv ha'ani she'akar miyad Baal HaBayis. What do you see? The Baal HaBayis is holding something in his hand. Now, the ani takes something from the hand and puts it in his chayiv. So what do you see? That the object in the hand of the Baal HaBayis is considered munach. Because the only way the ani could be chayiv for taking it from the hand of the Baal HaBayis is if he took it from a state of hanacha. So Tosfos says, I've just proven that right now in the hand of the Baal HaBayis is considered munach. So if it's munach, then what do I care if the ani takes it, or whether the Baal HaBayis decides to walk out the door? You see, it's an akira from the state of hanacha. That's his argument. The kivan to have a hanacha kisha oker gufo im zeh shabiyada hari oker makom hanacha. I've proven that it's in a state of hanacha v'haraya the anis chayiv for taking it from there. So clearly, if the Baal HaBayis just walks out the door, akira's gufo shmei akiras, that should also be considered an akira from a state of hanacha. So shouldn't Rashi have to admit that yado nach when the yad and the gufo are in the same rishus? Okay, so we just explained why Rashi could say I do hold of that. Right? But let's say I wanted to maintain that Rashi doesn't hold of that. Let's say Rashi would tackle hold of your putter for that case. That your putter, if you keep something in your hand and you walk outside, like Tosa says Rashi would hold. Could Rashi refute the proof from the Mishnah? Okay?
It was on the ground.
Well, no, you can't. It's a hard kemta to make. Especially since the Gemara in Sadi Bey seems to say that our Mishnah is not a case of on the ground. So, how are you?
No,
he's moving his hand.
Yeah, you're trying to demonstrate.
Yeah, yeah, you might agree when there's no activity going on whatsoever, right? Even if you won't agree in the case of, you know, whatever, let's see, with your goof and your yacht. When there's nothing moving at all and you're just standing there like this,
yeah.
So there he'll agree. There's no reason for seeing your hand as separate, right? Your hand's not doing any activity on its own. There's not like nothing. There's no reason to.
Okay, but if that's true, then when you are standing there like a zombie, and then you start walking out the door, so shouldn't that be considered?
No, because first of all, if you use Jeremy's understanding, then exactly no, because then you have akira gufo. So no, right here you don't have any akira gufo. You don't have any akira yado. You just have. Especially, I think Jeremy's explanation works really
but that's all assuming that Rashi would hold that that's considered Akira Saguf.
Right, but now, even, right, so you want
to
say...
I want to say right now that Rashi would hold, in that case,
can you make
that you're putter.
He would hold in that case that you're putter, but you...
That Rashi would hold if you put something into my hand and I walk out, then I'm putter in that case, because that's Akira Saguf. So could I maintain that and still... read the Mishnah without getting caught in
this question. Sorry. That's what I was trying to say. Meaning, there, your yad is doing, right, I have to fine tune it, but like, maybe if your yad doing any kind of maisa, so then we'll consider that to be, we'll ignore your goof and we'll say yad lo na'ay chagavikar.
Seems to lack in elegance, no?
What?
You're saying when your yad is doing any sort of maisa? You say something a lot sharper here. Alright, you're going to say something sharper.
You do a new Akira on the.
On what?
On the Akira of like why can't it has to be in a state of anatha?
Yeah, let's assume for a moment we'll challenge it maybe in a second, but let's assume for the moment that Tos is right. In order for the Ani to be chayiv, it has to be munach in the hand of the Baal HaBayis. So you see Yado's nach. Once you see Yado's nach, so if he walks out the door, he should be chayiv as well. Jennifer, what do you think? Can you distinguish Kiri Mechalik between the cases? Anybody. Yossi, it doesn't require any fine print. What do you think? How do you mechalek? Q, what do you think? Ayala. What do you think?
Pat.
Jeremy, what do you think? Okay, so it seems like it's a very strong question. What?
Like, we can't apply the, like, meet and new thing here.
How do you apply it?
Like, it's not, I don't know, like, maybe when we said Hanacha, I really Hanacha. Like, in their hands, the Ani plus meet and new, the Ani.
Doesn't seem like it here. So, maybe we can answer this question on Tosa just by stepping back and we'll answer it right here. Maybe you can machalik between. I mean, there might be a relative shame Hanacha here. I mean, Hanacha is not defined objectively. Either something is munach or it's not munach. Something may be munach relative to the ani, even though it's not munach relative to the Baal HaBayis. So, for example, from the perspective of the ani, who's about to do an akira from the hand of the Baal HaBayis. So the hand of the Baal HaBayis is just, it's an object, right? It doesn't have a din yad, it's just the platform on which the chefetz is lying. So from the perspective of the akira of the ani, that's considered a makom munach. But from the perspective of a Maisa Akira of the Baal HaBayis himself, where it's his yad that's holding the chefetz, so his yad is not simply a platform for holding the chefetz, it's his yad. So klape him, So it's not considered munach. So if he were to walk outside with this chavis in his hands, he wouldn't be chayiv, because yad lo naich. Mitzad ani, where the yad of a baal bayis is not a yad, it's really just a chavis. So then he'd be chayiv. But I would assume saying that the shem hanacha is not an objective, either it's munach or it's not munach. You could have a relative shem hanacha. So Tosus is assuming, if it's a hanacha le'inyan, the ani, it's a hanacha le'inyan, the gavra himself. Rashi would say mechadesi. That's exactly the point. It's a hanacha l'gabi him. It's not a hanacha l'gabi. It's a hanacha l'gabi the ani. It's not a hanacha l'gabi himself. That's his own hand. It makes it's so intuitive to machalik that way. Okay. So you might have a very
What would be then the hanacha in the case of the Mishnah when you're taking it out? You know, you have the akira, but then where's the hanacha? Are we gonna
according to who? Rashi. So maybe Rashi would hold like we saw here that you have to put it on the ground in a hanami. Okay. You have to put it on the ground.
Right.
But that's might work out nicely that Rashi is l'shitaso if he holds that.
Right.
So you might have a similar point over here in Tosas Yeshanim. The second Simon Gimel, the second Tosas Yeshanim that we were supposed to see. Did anybody see this? It touches, we know that there's Machlokas, Tosas Yeshanim, in the Havamin of the Gemara where you can do Machalek between Akira Skufo Shmei Akira and Hanacha Skufo Shmei Hanacha, right? Machlokas, Tosas, and Tosas Yeshanim. Okay? So the second Tosas Yeshanim, it's very, I don't know, all the gear cells here are Meshubash. He's like quoting Rashi for Shitas he doesn't have. I don't know. It's hard to know what he's saying, but in the second Tosos Yeshanim, he has this line: "Uluri de lo mechalek bein akira lahanacha." According to Tosos, who holds that akira and hanacha are exactly the same, so if akira askufo shme akira, then hanacha askufo shme hanacha, and vice versa. Kashali, amai lo pashit mimasnisin akira askufo kakira aschefetz ki hechi de hanacha aschefetz biad balabayis shehuv yadaber shosachar hava hanacha. I don't understand. If Akira and Hanacha have the same din, so couldn't I have brought an obvious proof from the Mishnah that Hanacha is Gufo Shmei Hanacha? What's the obvious proof from the Mishnah that Hanacha is Gufo Shmei Hanacha? The same case that Tosis brought down here. From the fact that when the Ani takes it from the Yad of the Balabayas, he's Chayiv, you see that the Chayfet in the Yad of the Balabayas is considered Munach. Right? So Tosa says, well, then you could prove, you see, Hanacha Askufo Shmei Hanacha, because that's why the Ani is Chayiv. And therefore, the Gemara should never have had a Safek, because then if Hanacha Askufo Shmei Hanacha, then Akira Askufo Shmei Akira also. So what's the answer to Tosa Yishanim's question?
Different perspectives of Hanacha.
Exactly, different perspectives of Hanacha here. Because Tosa Yishanim is asking from the case where we're asking about the status of the Chayfetz in the hand of the Balabayis, from the perspective of the Ani. So from the perspective of the Ani, the Yad of the Balabayas is an inanimate object. He's viewing it kechefza. But the question of the Gemara in Gimel Amud Aleph is a question of Akiras Gufo Kakiras Chefetz Dami from the perspective of the Gavra himself, the person who has it in his own hands, or in his own body. So then you have a different child. Then you might say that with respect to him, Hanachas Gufo is Lav Shmei Hanacha. With respect to him, Akiras Gufo is Lav Shmei Akira. Okay, so you can see it's a parallel assumption in these tosasin, and the way you get out of it is by being mechalik between you have this relative shame hanacha. Okay, is that clear? Okay. Now you might also raise one more chiluk b'das Rashi. Okay, it's similar to this distinction about the relative Shem Hanacha, but in a different sense. It's not, I was like trying to figure out how, it doesn't really relate to Tosa's question over here, but it may relate to a question that the Ramban has on Rashi, but only half of the Ramban's question. So the Ramban poses this question on Rashi, Vim Tomar. Im kein afki shenasa na'ani l'soch yado shabala bayis. So if that's really true, that Hanacha's yad is lav Shem Hanacha, so when the Ani puts the object into the hand of the Baal HaBayis, he shouldn't be Chayiv. Why? Because the Baal HaBayis' hand is lo nach. O kishenatal mimena v'hotzi yeh pater. Right? Same thing. When the Ani takes from the hand of the Baal HaBayis, he should also be pater, because he didn't take from a state of Hanacha. So you just might raise another chiluk here and just be mechalek between a hanacha l'chiv. What's halachically considered a hanacha to say that you violated the malacha of hotzah? And what's considered a hanacha such that an akira afterwards is considered an akira. Meaning, hanacha here, this is what Yossi was pointing out, I think Yossi was pointing out before, maybe I'm wrong, that hanacha in with respect to hotza is needed for two things. One, to say that when I put it down, I'm chayiv. So there I want to know when this object, when I put this object into someone's hand, is his hands considered a makom nach, to be chayiv? And the second question, whether or not this state of being is sufficiently nach, such that if I take something from it, now that's considered an akira. Because if it wasn't nach, then it was always in motion, and you can't have an akira if it's already nekar. Okay, akiras come from states of hanacha. So I might say, I might be mechalik here. What?
So that when you're taking it, it's hanacha l'shem akira, but you don't have a nacha l'shem kliyah?
Right.
Yeah.
So I might say that yada lo nach is true with respect to not being chayiv, from taking an object from that, from nach chayiv, when I put something into a yad that's not nach, but it would be a hanacha such that something that comes after it is considered an akira. So let me just give you a very clear cut. You don't have a clear cut distinction with respect to yad, but you do have this distinction, I think, in our sugya very nicely. And this relates to the tosos on top tosos on Gimel Mebeis. Remember, the maskan of the Gemara here said, so let's say you had, you're wearing a knapsack on Erev Shabbos, and then come Shabbos, and you walk. So the akira was before Shabbos, seemingly, but now you just start walking on Shabbos. So the Gemara says you're chayiv. Why? Because akira skufos kakira schefetz dami. So somebody put a knapsack on you Erev Shabbos, let's say. Now you were standing still. You start walking on Shabbos. Akira skufos kakira schefetz dami, and you're chayiv. That's the maskana of the Gemara. So Tosos asks, amongst his other questions, Tosos says, why didn't the Gemara just say, why give me a case where I was wearing a knapsack from Erev Shabbos, and then I was stationary and I started walking on Shabbos? Why not say, it's a case where I put something, I picked up something on Shabbos, I put it on my back, stationary, and now I start walking again.
Because then you definitely did the Akira Rishona when you put it on your
back. That's Tosos' answer. Yeah. Excellent. So Tosos says, because in that case, Miman of Shach. Let's say Akira, if you picked it up and put it on your back on Shabbos, so even if you were to paskin Akira Skufo Lav Shmei Akira, nonetheless, you had a real Akira on Shabbos. Right? So even if your Akira Skufo is Lav Shmei Akira, nonetheless, you had a full Akira where you took the backpack, you took your knapsack off the ground. Right? So Mimanu Shach Yibi Chayiv. That's what Tos says. You see the Ritva? So the Ritva disagrees. The Ritva says, Eina Chanami, the Gemara could have given you a case where you pick the knapsack off the ground on Shabbos, you put it on your back, and then you have a shayla, akira skufo shmei akira, lav shmei akira. Wait a second. Why doesn't the Ritva situation suffer from Tosa's question? That even if akira skufo is lav shmei akira, nonetheless you would still be chayiv because you did an akira mamish, you picked the thing off the ground. You don't have a better akira than that, right? What's the answer? How could the Ritva say, and he does say, that the Gemara could have given a case where you just put a knapsack on your back on Shabbos and started walking? Why aren't you chayiv anyway for the initial Akira? What? How do you mechalik? What's the machlokas? Does everybody understand the question?
You're trying to get back like the hanafah l'shem for you.
I'm trying to figure out what I'm looking for. Figure out the real distinction here between the cases. Yeah, questions like this. The Gemara gives a case where I'm wearing something before Shabbos, and I start walking on Shabbos. So the question is my walking considered Akira Skufo Shmei Akira or Lav Shmei Akira? Tosos asks, why not just give a case where it's Friday night, I'm done with my Shabbos meal, I put my knapsack on my back, right? And then I start walking outside. So Shabbos Shaila, Akira Skufo Kakiras chayfetz dami or lo, right? So Tosa says it's not good because even if akira skufo is lav shmei akira, I'll still be chayiv for picking the knapsack off the ground. That's an akira. That's not a good case. The Ritva says that is a good case, and the Gemara could have given it. Well, how could the Ritva say that? Right? Shouldn't you be chayiv even if akira skufo is lav shmei akira? Because you're chayiv for the moment earlier when you picked it off the ground. Then you walk outside and you stop walking.
But do you have to put on the ground? I guess.
What?
What do you say to
the time? So, maybe just having a knapsack on you wouldn't be hanachin, according to Rashi, because you never really put on the ground?
Okay, that's. That's it. You know, I was going to have a hanachin, I'm going to have a hanachin, I'm going to have a hanachin. I'm not sure. Tosos definitely doesn't think that's good enough. Or Tosos thinks you are putting it down in this case. Okay. So what do you say? I think you could answer this.
Isn't the question is what counts as Akira?
But stronger than that.
Akira in that.
Meaning you might say that when the Gemara had the question of Akira Skupok, Akira Schefetz Dami, so the Gemara assumed that even if Akira Skupo is Lav Shmei Akira, sorry, even if Hanacha Skupo is Lav Shmei Hanacha, it's Lechiyuv, it's still a shame Hanacha to be Oker and Akira that happened before that. So for example, even if I paskind Hanacha Skupo is Lav Shmei Hanacha, okay? So nonetheless, when I pick up the knapsack and put it on my back, that's a sufficient Hanacha to say that my initial Akira is no longer halachically relevant. Even if I were to paskin Akira Skufo's Lav Shmei Akira. Even if I were to paskin Hanacha Skufo Lav Shmei Hanacha, because it's Lav Shmei Hanacha such that if I stop walking now I'm Chayiv, it's not a Hanacha to be Mechayiv me, but it is a Hanacha that the object on my back now is Munach such that the Akira that happened before it is halachically neutralized. That doesn't make sense to you.
It's a little ridiculous to say that.
Why?
And you wouldn't be Chayiv anymore.
No, because we're saying that Hanacha's... Right.
Why would that Hanacha neutralize the original Akira? Wouldn't it make it a bit, like, a better Akira?
Yeah, stronger one.
No,
stronger
because... Akira? Let's see, if you every let's see, you have an Akira, then you have a Hanacha. So the Hanacha basically says we're starting again. You have a new series. Right?
Okay.
So, you had an Akira, you picked the knapsack off again, you put it on your back. So now we're saying that maybe putting on your back already says that it's Munach, Le'inyan saying that your first Akira is not an Akira Shel Shabbos anymore. Because
right.
The object is sufficiently stationary to say that it's not in motion.
And therefore
it's not
but
the next
yet,
Akira that's
at the same right, at the same time, we're going to say that if I kept walking, at the same time I'll say that if I then take the knapsack off my back and put it on the ground, or let's say I walk a few steps and take the knapsack off my back and put it on the ground, that I would say that Hanachas, I would say that that's not an Akira, I would say it's not a Hanacha to Mechayev me. Why? I didn't say the case well. At the same time, I would say that if I started walking and then stopped walking, I would not be Chayev for Hanacha, because Hanacha Skufo is Lav Shpe Hanacha. Now, Tosos holds, that's a Stir Mine Ube. Tosos holds, Tosos doesn't hold that, but yeah, Tosos holds that's incompatible. Because Tosos is saying, the moment the Gemara asks the question with respect to Hanacha to Mechayiv you, the Gemara is asking the very same question with respect to being to the Shem Hanacha in terms of being Mevatel, the initial Akira. But the Ritva seems to dissent. And the Ritva says that the Gemara could entertain that it's not a Hanacha L'chiyu, but it is a Hanacha to neutralize the original Akira. Okay, it's very hard to remind you on that, but I think it's a very nice distinction. Okay, it doesn't help us for all of the Rashi's cases now, but it would help us, maybe, for some of the cases that the Rishonim ask against Rashi. So you might say that when Rashi says that Yado's lo nach, so he might say that it's Yado lo nach with respect to, let's say, a Hanacha l'chiyuv, but it is a sufficient Hanacha to say that an Akira that happens afterwards is a Hanacha l'chayiv. Okay? To wit, that would mean that Rashi would still hold that when you bring your hand back, you have to put the object on the ground to be chayiv, because yado's lo nach. But Rashi would acknowledge that taking the object from someone else's hands is considered a shmei akira, because his hand, even though yado's lo nach, that's only with respect to hanacha l'chiyuv, but it is nach with respect to an akira happening afterwards. Okay, so this would clarify a lot of the issues in Rashi. Okay. Yeah.
This is another way, meaning it's another way of getting out of the problem that you suggested before. I mean, instead of just saying there's a difference between who in relationship to whom, it's just a relationship to, like,
right,
to what.
Correct.
Right?
That's what I'm saying. It's a similar way of being machalic between different kinds of hanachos. It's a relative hanacha, but a hanacha relative to a chiyuv, relative to an akira, as opposed to saying a hanacha relative to this gavra, as opposed to the that. Okay. A couple more minutes. What about Tosas Shita if you had a basar gufo garir? This is all within Rashi Shita.
Oh.
Okay. What about Tosas Shita? Only 5 minutes, no longer. Promise.
Okay.
What about Tosas Shita? So here we already saw two different views. either you could say that it's a chisaron in hanacha, or you could say that the hanacha is fine, but there's no chilah for shuyos over here. The hand is not sufficiently considered as being in the other rishos. The Rabbeinu Chananel that we just read seems to be very clear. Seems to take a very strong stance here. How did Rabbeinu Chananel phrase it? What's the problem of Yada Basa Gufo Garir? Umakam Shagufo Omeid Sham Yado Chashiva. The hand is halachically considered to be in the place of the guf. Because if the body moves, so the hand would move along with the guf. The kivan shehaguf bechutz kemokein hayad bechutz chashiva v'hine lo akar mirshus hayachid. So you see clearly that Rabbeinu Chananel understands this to be a problem of rishuyos. You can't say that you are oker from rishus X when the body is actually in rishus Y. Okay, so it seems to be a chisaron in the chilah for rishuyos. I would just say that there are other rishonim. Perhaps the Ramban, I think. Yeah, the last line in the Ramban on Gimel Med Aleph, the Ramban says, "Hachanami, tzarach lefarshinu diyado kshehu birshus acheres lo nayich mishum debasar gufo greira." Since yado is basar gufo greira, therefore yado is lo nach. Right, the Rashba also has that, because Rashba is trying to say well, the two lashonos are charu. Right, so they're clearly learning, not like Rabbeinu Chananel, but they're learning that the problem of Yad Basar Gufo Garir is a chisaron in the Shem Hanacha. Whereas according to Rabbeinu Chananel, it's a chisaron in the Chila for Shios. What would be an interesting nafkamina to this question? What the problem of Yad Basar Gufo Garir is? What? Say that.
If your Yad is not on the same Rishut.
A little better. These two different understandings of Yad Basar Gufo Garir.
Yeah. Oh.
Would be good enough, Gamina.
I mean, we talked about it differently, and then we
not. Flesh it out.
Sorry, which other word Rabbeinu Chananel says the Yad and Guf are the same?
Your Yad is not enough.
No, so Rabbeinu Chananel says that the problem of Yad Basar Gufo Garir is a problem of Chila for Shuyos.
Right.
You can't halachically state that he went from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Rabin since the hand's already kind of blending the two. Right? That's Rabbeinu Chananel. The Ramban and the Rashi seem to be saying that because Yad Basar Gufo Garir, so you can't say that the hand is Nach. Okay, I'll just give you best formulation of it is the Meiri. The Meiri says, why is Yad Lo Nach? Anybody see the Meiri?
Yeah.
What? What does he say? Why is Yad, what's the catch of Yad Basar Gufo Garir? Excellent. The Meiri says the reason why Yado is Basar Gufo Garir, the problem is because Tzarechu Lachzira. Right? Because it has to go back. Now I would say what I think he means is that your hand is here right now, but we know that your hands are going to go back into the other rishos in a second. So that doesn't constitute a halachic hanacha. That's how I would say it. It's not a hanacha because we know, for example, it's not considered like a davar hamiskayim. Hanachas mishabes needs to have some permanence. Here, because we project that it's going to go back in a second, it's not a hanacha. It's not permanent.
Maybe the body will join the hand.
What?
Maybe
the body. I was thinking that. Why can't you just invert it and say that? But I assume that the Rishonim, the body is more substantial, and that's why you don't flip it. Okay. I was also wondering that a little bit in Rabbeinu Chananel's example.
Then it would make sense for remorse and that you're talking about that therefore since there's no Havar Rishi that happens.
But he says, Harei hi ke'ena muneches, it's not considered munach. Why? If neshi yada negaris achar gufo k'tash, tzarech l'achzira. Did you transcribe the ena muneches part?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's defining ena muneches because it's going to go back.
Yeah.
I'll just say, I mean, I guess we'll close here. Yeah.
Oh, just enough. I mean, like,
yeah.
If your hand gets paralyzed.
that could be an interesting nafkamina. I'll go for a stronger one. That is, if Yado Basar Gufo Garir is just a chisaron in the hanacha, then if for some reason we have reason to define it as a hanacha independent of the yad, so then Yado Basar Gufo Garir shouldn't ruin that hanacha. So, for example, let's say, I think somebody, and I think, Ari, you were just mentioning this, no, lamata migimel, that let's say your hand is lamata migimel in another rishus. So do you say that yado basar gufo garir should undermine the hanach of lamata migimel in the other rishus? Or, for example, that's what, that'll be one question. Or, let's say you hold of kuta kamisho hanachadamya, like Tosan Sadi Beis asks, which means that the moment the chevetz is in the airspace of another rishus, it's keilu, it's munach. So do you say that yado basar gufo garir undermines the hanacha of kuta kamisho hanachadamya? So if yado basar gufo garir is a way of saying that the object is not really in this rishus, then I can understand why it should have the power to undermine the either the toch gimel or it should undermine the kuta kamisho hanachadamya. But if you hold that it's just a chisaron in the hanacha, then if you have independent reason for viewing it as a hanacha, then I don't see how yod basar gufo garir should override that. Okay, we'll see. So that those questions are contingent on machlokes rishonim on Sadi Beis Amid Aleph, the different deyas and tosas here, the Ritva there, and what the Rashba and Daf Gimel reads into the distinction between the sugyas. And this will end. Just this last line in Tosas on Sadi Beis Amid Aleph says has two deyas. Do you say that yod basar gufo garir undermines the hanacha and yod rishus? So even though kluta should make it a hanacha, yod basar gufo garir undermines the hanacha. Or do you say, like the last day in Tosfos, that you'll only paskin yod basar gufo garir when it's lamala me'asara, when it's lamala me'gimel tvachim? But once it's below gimel tvachim, so then you can't hold yod basar gufo garir anymore. I mean, which one dictates, which is the cord and which is the cart and which is the horse? Does viewing it as nach dictate your inability to say yada basar gufo garir, or the opposite, that yada basar gufo garir means it's impossible to say it's kenach? I think that would align with these two different understandings of yada basar gufo garir. If yada basar gufo garir is a chisarn in hanacha, then if it's nach anyway because of kuta or lavud, then yada basar gufo garir shouldn't ruin it. If yada basar gufo garir means it's not properly in this other rishus, then the fact that you have kuta or the fact that you have lavud is inconsequential. It's not in that rishos. I'll peek in. Okay. So, on Sunday, I thought I'd actually get through a little bit more. So on Sunday, we'll pick up with the Akira and the Hanacha question, just a very brief note on Tosas and Tosas Rishonim. And then we'll go on into the question of Yado Shel Adam Ve'Eino Kirshus HaRabim Ve'Eino Kirshus HaYachid and Yado Shel Adam Kekarmelos. So just, I'll email at Marmokomos, but see the Shaka V'Tari, the Gemara and Gimel and Beis, down to the two dots on Dalam and Aleph, the Gemara Rashi Tosfos, and see the Balamor and the Chiddush Ramban, and Tosfos Rid. I'll email it out, but that's our next project. All right.